Would you please join me in prayer? Dear Lord, we come before you now, and we ask you, Lord, to be in this place, to send your Spirit to touch our hearts and to touch our minds. And Lord, I pray that you will open our hearts and minds and bless us with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you were here last week, you remember that we spent some time talking about Moses. And if you're just joining us for homecoming today, or you didn't have the opportunity to be here last week, we saw that Moses was in that place where he sent the 12 spies into the promised land. 10 of them came back with a negative report. They said there's no way the children of Israel could liberate the land that God had promised to them. The towns were too heavily fortified, and the people were giants. But two spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "God is with us, and we can surely take the land." Moses believed Joshua and Caleb, and he tried to convince the people to attempt to liberate the promised land, but they refused. The lack of faith of the children of Israel led to a tragic opportunity lost. Instead of living in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, God gave them what they asked for. He didn't force them to enter the promised land. Instead, he let them wander in the wilderness of Sinai for the next 40 years, until the entire generation over the age of 20 had died off, except for two, the two faithful spies, Joshua and Caleb. Listen now for the word of the Lord.
The Old Testament reading is Joshua 1, 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The New Testament reading is Mark 8, 31 through 38. His death and resurrection predicted. "Then he began to teach them that it was necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke openly about this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning around, looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns.' Calling the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. For what does it benefit someone to gain the whole world and yet lose his life? What can anyone give in exchange for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Myra. So if you're joining us for homecoming today, Just want to give you just a little bit of an overview of what we've been doing lately. We're continuing a new sermon series on the story. The story is a chronological account of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's sort of what you might call the big picture of the Bible. The story takes different perspectives of different biblical writers and kind of weaves them into one continuous story. Now, a great example of this is the Christmas story. The story takes Luke's account of the shepherds and the angels, and then it places it alongside Matthew's account of the wise men, and it fits it all together into one continuous story of the birth of Jesus. God's upper story is God's plan from creation to the end of time to ultimately bring about his son, Jesus, the Messiah, to be born from the nation of Israel. It's his plan to save us from our sins. People from ancient times all the way up to modern times and even into the future, so that we might have the wonderful blessing of spending eternity with him. The lower story is our individual stories. Through the story, we also see how God's upper story or master plan connects with our own personal individual story, the story of our lives. And today, we get to hear God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous. Now, this would be a good time for you to pull out your sermon notes so that you can follow along and see how long you have to wait before lunch. It begins with liberating the promised land. And then God tells the children of Israel how they need to live to be retaining the promised land. Next, we'll spend a moment or two considering our own inheritance. God's words to Joshua are just as much for us today as they were back then. When God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So let's begin with God motivating the Israelites to liberate the promised land. Now, the first thing that Joshua knows that they have to do is cross the Jordan River. Joshua was in the same situation 40 years earlier when he was one of the spies, one of the 12 spies. But he was only one of two who thought they could really go and do it and liberate the land. The rest of the spies and the people lacked faith. And that led to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, as we mentioned earlier. And now, Joshua has been called by God and put in charge himself. The Holy Spirit led Joshua to lead the people to cross the river with the Ark of the Covenant in front. And as soon as the foot of the first priest touched the water, the river stopped flowing, just as the Red Sea did so many years ago for Moses. Now, it's interesting. The last time I was in Israel, I learned from our guide that the River Jordan in Hebrew actually means the River Dan. In all the times I'd been there before, I'd never heard this. Yor means river in Hebrew. Dan was one of the 12 sons of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel, and also the name of a region in ancient Israel, Yordan, Jordan. Now their goal or their objective is Jericho. Joshua had sent a couple of spies of his own to check out the defenses of Jericho. And these two spies had been hidden and assisted by a woman named Rahab. In return, they had promised to spare her and her family during the battle that was going to be coming at Jericho. God wanted to make it crystal clear who was about to win the victory. He told Joshua that the key to victory was obedience. Joshua was to do exactly as God commanded and to be strong and courageous. For 6 days, the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho one time each day. On the seventh day, they circled the city seven times. Then they blew their trumpets, and then they shouted. And as the song that we'll sing later on in the service says, the walls came a-tumbling down. Rahab and her family were spared. In fact, they became part of the children of Israel. Rahab married an Israelite named Salmon. Furthermore, Rahab actually became part of God's upper story. because Rahab's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson was Jesus, the Messiah. The Lord called Joshua then to carry on a campaign of liberation. The Israelites began to liberate the cities in the south part of the country. They captured a major city named Ai and another one named Bethel. The Israelites moved north and captured the Jordan Valley and into the upper Galilee. They defeated a confederation of kings and captured the cities of Shechem and Hazor. But not all of the land was liberated at this time. The people of Gibeon tricked Joshua into making an alliance with them, and God required Joshua to honor that alliance and spare them. Now, some cities were not captured because of the disobedience of the Israelites, but most of the promised land was liberated by the Israelites at this time. God had called Joshua to liberate the land, and Joshua did. God told him, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." And the land was liberated. Now we enter the next phase, retaining the promised land. Now, one of the burning questions of this saga was, why did God give the land to the Israelites and then call them to liberate it from the people who already lived there? Well, the Bible tells us that the sin of the Canaanites was great, such as sacrificing their own children to pagan gods. My goodness, the Egyptians didn't even do that. Part of the effect of wandering in the wilderness was to give the Canaanites one more chance to turn away from their sin and turn to God. But sadly, they did not. Therefore, God called the Israelites to liberate the land and destroy the Canaanites instead of allowing them to join the chosen people as Rahab did. Now, this is where God's upper story comes in. Remember last week, the reason that we gave that God built the tabernacle or told them to build the tabernacle was so that he would have a place to speak with Moses and the people. If God would have dwelt with the people of Israel on a regular basis, their sin too would have caused God to destroy them. Because God could not be in that kind of close proximity with that kind of sin without dispensing justice. So God had to destroy the wickedness of the Canaanites in the promised land so that he could enter the land with the children of Israel and be present with them at times. But there's more. The purpose of even having a chosen people was so that the Messiah could be born and deliver the solution to sin. He would teach them about God. He would die on the cross for the sins of the people. He would rise from the dead, guaranteeing that human death is not the end. And then he would go back into heaven to a place of honor next to God. Now, another purpose for the chosen people was to tell the other people of the world about God and to tell them about the coming Messiah. But not just to tell them about the Messiah, but to prepare the way for the Messiah through the prophets who would predict and proclaim who and what the Messiah would be. The children of Israel would accomplish this task, so that when the Messiah did appear, people would recognize him for who he actually was. Now, the criteria for retaining the promised land, as we said earlier, was obedience. They were to be obedient to the laws and commands that God had given to Moses. They were to serve God with their whole lives, their thoughts, their actions, their emotions, their very soul. They were not to serve the gods of the Egyptians or the Canaanites or any other false gods. They were to serve the one true God and him alone. They were to serve, honor, and obey God in the lower story of their lives. If they did that, they could remain in the promised land. And Joshua told them just before his own death in a place called Shechem. And they agreed to be obedient to God and to serve God alone. And there, Joshua set up a stone monument to remind them of their promise to serve and honor God. And when this encounter between Joshua and the people was completed, each tribe went to his own land that God had given them as an inheritance. In a word, Joshua told them, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go." Now, for just a moment, let's consider our own inheritance. This past week, on Tuesday, we commemorated Patriot Day. Patriot Day is when we remember the terrorist attacks that our nation tragically suffered on September the 11th, 2001. It was a time when our nation was required to be strong and courageous, and we were, and we have been ever since. We remember the firefighters and the police officers who bravely rushed into the World Trade Center to rescue those trapped and sacrifice their own lives to save others. We remember the passengers on Flight 93 who bravely sacrificed their lives and challenged the hijackers to retake control of the aircraft that they were on to prevent it from crashing into the U.S. Capitol or the White House or somewhere else where innocent lives would have been lost. We remember those in the Pentagon who lost their lives that day when another aircraft flew into that building on that day, Patriot Day, September the 11th. Like the children of Israel and the heroes of 9/11, we here at Heartwood are called to be strong and courageous, but in a different way. They were called to sacrifice their lives for others. We are called to do as Moses called the Israelites to do previously, to choose life. We are called to choose life by living our lives to improve the lives of others and to be used by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus Christ with all of those that we come into contact with. You know, last winter, our mission and outreach committee came up with the idea to do a summer meals program for kids who are on free and reduced lunches during the school year and wouldn't get those lunches in the summer. Now, at one point, nobody knew exactly how we were going to do it or what we were going to do. Nobody knew if it would work. But we felt the Holy Spirit was calling us to do it. We began to research, and slowly the Holy Spirit revealed his plan. A plan for us to partner with Stafford Junction to provide meals for their preschoolers in their summer program. We had to be strong and courageous. We had to not tremble or be dismayed, and we had to remember that the Lord was with us wherever we went. We shared the plan with the session and with you, the people of Heartwood Church, and the Holy Spirit touched your hearts too. We shared the plan with the other churches that also support Stafford Junction, and the Holy Spirit touched their hearts as well. And so from the beginning of July until the end of August, we conducted the Summer Meals program. And when we finished, we had extended the program longer than we had planned. We had received a surplus of food donations, volunteer hours, and financial support. And the children we committed to serve had meals that they would otherwise not have had. Because of, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared ahead of time for us to do. The Summer Meals program was definitely a good work which the Holy Spirit prepared ahead of time for us to do. But there's more. The Holy Spirit has given us other ideas, which even now he's revealing one piece at a time. More good works that he is preparing in advance for all of us to do. And these too will require us to be strong and courageous. We must not tremble or be dismayed, and we must remember that the Lord our God is with us wherever we may go. Things that we'll be talking about in the future. Things that may require us to take a step or two out of our comfort zones. But these will be things that will help Heartwood grow closer to the Lord. And things that will help us grow spiritually and numerically. But they won't be easy. And they won't be a spectator sport. Because you see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. In fact, these will be things that each of us will have an opportunity to actively participate in. Because you see, Jesus is calling us to be followers, not just fans. So buckle up and stay tuned. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord God, help us to remember your words to Joshua. Help us to be strong and courageous. Don't let us tremble or be dismayed. And help us to remember, Lord, that you truly are with us wherever we may go. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Our hymn is Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho, found on an insert inside your bulletin. Please stand.